Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 103, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, in thee am I confiding, and thou wilt answer when I call, lest my foes, the good deriding, triumph in thy servant's fall. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 103. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter, from verse 16 to verse 32. Luke 5, verses 16 through 32. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 5, verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, and that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before him, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon Chad Outshorn, who must go into the hospital once again in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art able only to speak a word, and Thou who art able only to say, follow me, when we are sitting and when we are enjoying and when we are following all the desires of our natural hearts, when there is not a thought of Thee, when there is not a desire for Thee, and when we are dead in sins and in trespasses, O Thy word is the word of a king. And where the word of a king is, there is power. And then we also will arise, and we will leave all, and we will follow Thee. Oh, is it not, Lord, our only hope and expectation in this afternoon hour? And when we are gathered around Thy holy word and everlasting testimony again, oh, is it not then necessary that we beseech Thee for Thy blessing upon all that will transpire, and that Thy word that will be spoken to the ear and may be by Thy Spirit brought into the heart of sinners, and that the dead may hear the voice of the Son of God, and that they that hear might live. Oh, that Thou may so draw, that Thou may so make alive. And then we shall begin to seek Thee even as we have also read. And it is our responsibility, each and every one of us. But oh, do bring it in our hearts with power. Because then we will be seeking every means. And when we are not able to come in because of the crowd, oh, then we shall go up upon the housetop. And then we shall break through the roof. Oh, then we shall not be able to stay away for all the obstacles that are in the way. But the heart that shall need Thee. And then we shall seek Thee. And Thou sayest, those that seek me, they shall find me. Oh, that Thou may give such a seeking in our heart and in our midst. And by the power of Thy Spirit to both young and old among us. When we have grown old and cold under Thy word, Thy power is still the same even as in the days of old. That Thou art able to grant life. Oh, when we are still young, Thou art able to give it also. Oh, we beseech Thee then. And that Thou would not leave us over to ourselves in this day, only to increase the judgment that will lay upon us when we know the way and have no desire to walk therein. Because we so do increase with our knowledge, with the mind, all the stripes that shall be laid upon us in that great eternity as we travel upon that broad way that leadeth unto destruction, albeit it is on the right side of that broad way, albeit it is on the side of conservatism in an outward way, albeit it is in a way of religion, as still we remain upon that broad way. We need to enter in through that straight gate because we cannot climb over the wall. Oh, that Thou may so remember us then and bring us to a standstill while it is still called today and seek us out who will never seek after Thee and draw us, then we shall run after Thee. Bless Thy word to that end this day to young and old among us. And wilt Thou cause Thy children to run again? For Thou knowest how slowly that they have begun to run, and that they have come to a walking, that they have come to a sitting, that they have come to a sleeping, to a slumbering. And then it is alone Thee who art the first one by renewal to bring them again to be awakened out of their sleep.
and to go forth into the streets, to seek thee, to call for thee. And when they are not able to find thee, then their heart will speak also, even unto the daughters of Jerusalem, saw ye him whom my soul loveth. Oh, that it may be so, and that thou may use the means, even in the way of thy providence, when it is preparation for thy holy supper, and when everything has grown so old and cold, oh, that thou may revive thy work again in the midst of the years, and bring the soul of thy children again to a burning, that they may seek and that they may find thee by renewal, and that it may be good in thy house of prayer, but that it also may be good in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, that by times the mouths of thy church may truly go open, and that we may be given to hear once again of the wonders which humble a man before thee, and that burning a man in the dust before thee for the first or by renewal, and that to make thy sovereign grace to be exalted to the highest, and that does exalt thy great and glorious name. Lord, remember us. Look on all the afflicted, all those that have serious diseases, those who are afflicted in the body, those who are afflicted in the mind. Look upon the child who again will go into the hospital in the week that is to come. Wilt thou once again help, as thou hast so many times in the past, to be on the right and on the left, to give this physician that must perform this procedure the skill and the wisdom that is necessary and blessed for the welfare of this child. And wilt thou look upon all those that suffer afflictions and trials and tribulations, those also that do have sorrows and griefs in this world, over loved ones, over husbands and wives and children, wilt thou heal breaches which man is able to make, but that he is not able to heal? And wilt thou grant unto children also that love and obedience to father and to mother. Give us wisdom to bring them up in thy fear. And remember our school. When in this week the doors hope to go open again, that thou may supply for the administrators, the principals, the teachers. Wilt thou give safety over dangerous ways? And wilt thou grant thy spirit in the midst of our school? Oh, do give that thy word may stand truly in the foreground, that it may be the practice of the heart and of the life of our instructors, and that it may be seen also in the midst of our students, and that thou may look upon those that are instructed in other places, in other schools or in their own home, for whatever reasons that this must be. Lord, wilt thou remember them also, and wilt thou give courage unto those who are fearful, and wilt thou give love in the midst of the student body, and wilt thou grant thy indispensable blessing. Do look upon those that rule and reign over us. Lord, remember the nations in which we do dwell. Wilt thou look upon those that stand in those places of judgment, and those that do make our laws? Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, to look upon us in thy mercy, and not to judge us according as we deserve. But wilt thou bring us again to thy footstool, and turn us again as nations to thy holy word, that we may not be given over to go our own way and to work out all our destruction and to bring thy judgments righteously upon us. Protect thou the unborn. Do give in the midst of us as nations an impression of thee and of thy holy law and of all that is moral. And wilt thou give us also within thy house to know what is the right from the wrong, that we may flee evil and sin, that we may abhor all that is an abomination to thee, and that we may be an example to all that are about us, and that others also may be drawn to seek thee. Look upon all those that suffer for the sake of thy name. Strengthen them, encourage them, and give thy word to be spread also in those places where that it is forbidden in this world. And wilt thou overthrow the kingdom of Satan, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy will may be done. Wilt thou look on us in this afternoon hour, do strengthen us for the labors of our hands to bring thy word, but also to hear it. Take away all that does hinder, and be in our midst as one that serveth undeservedly. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, let us sing from Psalter 363, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. From the depths do I invoke thee. Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 363. Thank you. congregation, last week we heard the petition that the Lord Jesus has instructed his children to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Who of us is now not able to say that the Lord does give to us our daily bread? Who of us has to say that we miss anything of those provisions that are necessary for us as we are going through this world? But then we may ask ourselves, what do we now do? With that strength, with that health, with all those blessings and with all those provisions that the Lord does give to us day by day and moment by moment, for which we will give an account to the Lord, each and every one. Paul, he did use that strength to persecute the church of God. He used his strength to fight against God. Must that also be said of us? When we look in the Bible, then we see an example of the Pharisees and of the scribes. And then they are busy attempting to exhibit and to build for themselves a name, actually, of a false piety. Or what do we do with that strength and that health that the Lord is giving unto us? Do we with it go forth to all the service of this world? Do we with it desire all the enjoyments of this world? Or even worse, do we with it sin against the Lord? Do we with it transgress His law? Do we with it become drunken, young people? Do we with it even defile young women, young men? Oh, there are things, and they come to our ears, they make our ears to tingle. What is coming into the churches, what is being practiced in the world, and that we do not even see anymore as being sinful and wrong. And then with that health and that strength that we are instructed day by day and week by week, that is coming so directly from the Lord, oh, what are we doing with all the blessings that the Lord is providing for us? You say, how must we use them? Certainly. Certainly we must labor, that we have heard, 6 days in the week. But how do we do this? Are our labors our end? Is it to enjoy all the good and the riches of this world? What do we think about the eunuch of that queen of Candace? Had she not many, many labors to perform? Had he not? And yet, what do we find him doing? Do we not find him searching in those holy scriptures? Oh, what a task was Daniel given as a young man. A task when he is set over all that country, all that land of Babylon. And what is he doing? He is bowing his knees. Or are we also seeking that kingdom of God? Are we also asking, Are we also knocking? And when we receive no answer, then what? Oh, then we do as that widow, as the Lord Jesus said, that she is going and that she is knocking again and she is asking again. Or is the need so great that we are doing as we have read together, and that the roof that is being broken up in order that we may be set before the Lord Jesus Christ? And then what do we need when we come there? Let us consider that together as we consider Lord's Day 51. Question 126, Lord's Day 51, question 126. What is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day, the petition for forgiveness. First, the request that is in this petition. Second, the ground of this petition. Third, the sincerity of this petition. The petition for forgiveness. First, the request. Second, the ground. And third, the sincerity of this petition. And forgive us our debts. How many times, congregation, have we not prayed this? Children, your mother and your father, they teach you also to pray. And when they teach you to pray, then you are taught to ask the Lord if the Lord will forgive your sins. But maybe ever now pray this petition in truth and forgive us our debts. If we will pray this in truth, then necessarily we must know what a debt is. And what is that? That is something that we owe to someone. There is much natural debt in this world. And there is, young people, also much debt that ought not to be, that does not go along with the kind of frugality that has been taught to us by our fathers. That is, that those kinds of expenses that a man may build up in his life in this world, they are those which are irresponsible. It used to be, of course, when you had nothing, you could buy nothing. And today, when you have a little card, then you may buy everything even though you have nothing. And then when we are not wise, then we are building up debts which we are never able to pay. And therefore, there is also so very much poverty in this world, and also bankruptcy. Sometimes that is genuine, but sometimes that is also the result of much corruption. We do not say that debt is wrong altogether, no, but it must be done in a responsible manner, because very quickly we can bring ourselves into the poorhouse. What does Solomon say? He says that the destruction of the poor is their poverty, and then they are not able, because of their poverty, to bring themselves out of it. But that is, of course, the natural picture that the Lord Jesus is using, a debt. But the Lord Jesus is not speaking about a natural debt, but he is speaking about a spiritual debt. As we read our Father say, "Be pleased not to impute to us poor sinners." Thus, sin, the Lord Jesus says, is a debt. Thus, he pictures sin as something that needs to be paid, and that is with a righteous punishment, each and every particular transgression. Thus, did our sin ever bring us into poverty? Did we ever become, as we read here, a poor sinner? No, then we do not speak about a poor sinner as being one who is the object of the sympathy of persons, as if we ought to have pity upon ourselves because we are only a poor sinner. No, then it is not used in such a way, but it is speaking about a person that has a debt. But when we have a debt and we have the means whereby to pay that debt, then we are not so poor. But when we have not those means, then we have a debt, and at the same time, we are poor. And that is of great significance because that means that we are unable to pay our debt. Thus, we ask, have you ever become not only a sinner, but a poor sinner? When the Lord converts us, then we become a sinner. But we are not yet a poor sinner. No, all that the Lord needs to do is wait yet. And if the Lord will but wait yet, then the time will come that we will be able to make amends for all that we have done. But the longer such a person lives, the more a person experiences that he is a poor sinner, that he has not the means whereby he is able to pay for a single sin. Our instructors, they speak about transgressions. Do we also have them? Transgressions. Because there are many who are sinners. Maybe you have heard that once, young people. Then there was a minister who went to speak to a woman. And that woman, she said to the minister, "Oh, minister, I am such a sinner. I am such a sinner." Do you know what he said? He said, "I know. That's what I've heard." "What? What?" she says. "Where did you hear that from?" And then she became angry. Oh, yes, she was such a sinner. But she was a woman. She had actually no transgressions. Oh, what are we? Have we ever indeed become a sinner? What is making that debt now to be so great? That debt is so great because of him against whom we sin. Because of his greatness, because of his majesty, because of his goodness, because of his long-suffering, because of his holiness, because of his righteousness. It is because of him against whom that we sin, that our sin is so great. But why is it then that we do not feel how great that our sin is? How is it that we do not feel what a great debt that we have? That is because we do not know Him. That is because we do not love Him. Or is it different? Or have we come to know Him? And have we come to love Him? And if we have come to know Him and to love Him, or only in the smallest part to know Him and His goodness and His highness and His holiness and His righteousness and His awful majesty, or have we not then a saving impression of our sin, of our transgression? What did Job say? Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Thus he said it was different. Before I only heard, now I see thee. All the Lord brought him, as it were, before His holy majesty. And when the Lord will bring us before His holy majesty, and we will see Him as He is, then we will do as Job. He says, wherefore I repent, and I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. That is, be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor the depravity which always cleaves to us. A depravity. Thus, we say, the longer that that church lives, the more that they experience their poverty. Why? Because it is not only that they have nothing to pay, but it is also that they continually are increasing the debt. When I cannot change my nature, how can I do anything but to make that debt higher and higher every moment that I live? What did Paul say? Because he says, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Thus, for all that is past, nothing to pay that debt, but that debt daily increasing in the sight of such a holy and a righteous God? Or how is Paul able to know this? That is only by the entrance into that warfare against sin. There he is learning what sin is. There he is learning how great is the evil of sin, what the consequences of sin are, and who that sin is truly against, and forgive us our debts. Why? Why should I ask? What will be the profit? What will this accomplish if the Lord will forgive me my debts? What do you think, young people, children? If the Lord will forgive us our debts, you say maybe, then our conscience, that will not bother us. Indeed, that is a heavy thing, is it not? We don't think so much before. But when we have committed the transgression, then we must go over this world. And then we must bear the guilt of that transgression. Is that not heavy? Have you never a desire that you may be freed from carrying the guilt of sin with you over this world? But if that now is the only reason that our conscience may be cleared, and that we may be relieved of that guilt, and that we may go on in this world, then we ask amiss to consume it upon our lusts. Then we ask only that we may receive the benefit thereof. Children, when you would sin against mother, when you would sin against father, what will you feel? Then you feel a separation. Is that not now the cause of your burden? You have guilt on your conscience, yes. Is that the worst part? Is that the worst part? Oh, when there is now no communion, when there is now a separation from the favor of your mother or your father, is that now not the thing that does burden your heart and which you desire would be taken completely away? Is that not the way it is now in the life of God's true people? That it is not only that that conscience may be cleared, but that they may be reconciled once again into the favor of the Lord, that we may receive once again that blessed communion with Him, because that unpaid debt that is making a separation between God and my soul. Congregation, have we sinned against our neighbor? Was that never rightly confessed? Was it then never rightly forgiven? And then what do you feel? You say there is still a separation between me and him. Can you live that way? Ought we to live such a way? And then especially not with our neighbor only, but with God, that there is a separation, or have you no need to be reconciled that there may be peace between God and your soul? And forgive us our debts. Must the Lord then have pity on such a poor sinner? Oh, that is not the request of this petition. It is not the request that the Lord may have sympathy upon us because of our poverty, that the Lord would have sympathy on us because we are miserable, we have a great debt, and we have nothing to pay. No, that is no reason for sympathy from the side of God. Why not? Because it is a willful disobedience. Oh, us poor sinners. Yes, us poor sinners were not created so poor. But us poor sinners were created rich. And us poor sinners, we have despised those riches that God has created us with. And we have despised the goodness of the Lord. Oh, poor sinners, yes. But what kind of poor sinners are we? Are we not poor sinners who have cast away all fear of God? Are we not poor sinners who have cast away all desire to serve Him, to magnify Him, to glorify Him? What kind of poor sinners are we? Are we not poor sinners who have a rebellious heart? Who continue still in that way that our Father, our covenant head, has chosen? No. No, we deserve no pity. We deserve no sympathy.
and therefore we cannot plead on our poverty. Or if we will bend our knees and beseech the Lord to have mercy upon us and upon our children because we are a poor sinner. No, then there is no reason that the Lord can hear us in such a way. There is only reason that the Lord should cast us away, that we are so poor, because it is evidence that we have wasted all our living in a riotous way. No, if the Lord will forgive our debts, if the Lord will look upon us in mercy, it has to be for another reason. There has to be another foundation. There have to be good grounds upon which alone the Lord is able to hear. That is our second thought, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, neither that depravity which always cleaves to us. Thus, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. Thus, it is an appeal to what? It is an appeal to the good pleasure of God. Why? Because there is nothing else upon which we may ground our hope. There is nothing else upon which we have a good pleading ground. Shall we plead on our good works? There is none righteous, no, not one. Shall we plead on the good intentions of our heart? Shall we plead upon our bending of our knees? Shall we plead upon our confession? Shall we plead upon our religion? All our righteousnesses, all our good works, they are all as filthy rags in the sight of God. Shall we plead upon the good opinion of men? What the minister thinks of me, and what the elders and what God's children say of me. Shall we plead upon this? There is no respect of persons with God. No, not when we come even to bear an office in the church of God. To a wretched, to a guilty, to a depraved prodigal, there is but one hope, and that is, O Lord, be pleased. Be pleased. O Lord, take reasons out of thyself when there is no reason that can come out of me. Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. There is only one thing concerning the salvation of the church of God which is pleasing unto the Lord. What is it? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is all. What did the Lord say unto the children of Israel? He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. There is a hymn of heart that says that that whole narrow way, that is a way that is lined with blood. It is alone that which is pleasing unto God the Father, and it is His good pleasure to forgive the iniquity, the transgression of His church, based on that shed blood, and also His delight
his delight. Because it is in the way of the satisfaction of his justice. Is he pleased with the transgression of his law? Nay, but he is pleased with obedience to his law. Thus, not only may he, but it is his delight. It is his delight to look upon the obedience of his Son as that righteous judge who may look upon it and who may give sentence upon that righteousness, that it is worthy of life. That it is worthy of life not only for him, but that it is worthy of life for all that are found in him? Or is that not the reason? Because it is his delight, because it is his good pleasure, is that not the reason that he has sent his Son into the world? That he may line that way with blood. That he may satisfy, that he may pay that great and awful debt. Is that not the very reason that the Son of God was also willing to come? Not only to make it possible, but because it is also his delight to do so. His delight to suffer. His delight to die. His delight in his active and his passive obedience. Does he not say, "Lo, I come"? In the volume of the book it is written of me, "I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." And now if it is his delight to do the work of redemption, oh, how much more will he not delight in the application of all his mediatorial labors? Why? Because now the fruits of his labor become manifest. Is that not what we are waiting for as husbandmen, as farmers in this world? When we have sown and we have labored all the season long, then we are waiting and we are waiting for the fruits of the field. But where are the fruits of the field concerning the labors of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they not in the application by the Spirit's work in the time, in the hearts of men? And thus it is his delight. Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And I will not remember thy sins. Not only possible, but his delight, in order that he may bring his church once again for that end for which he has come, that he may reconcile a church unto himself. Oh, be pleased. When it is asked, oh Lord, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, then we do not ask him to do something that is not his good pleasure, but then we ask him to do something which is according to his nature, which is according to his good pleasure. Oh, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. When the Lord Jesus did institute the Holy Supper of the Lord, he did that for a purpose. And what was his purpose? He would comfort his disciples. He would comfort them with the tokens of his body, of his shed blood. But what did he say? He said, with desire. Thus, when there is so little desire even on the side of the church, or what is the fountain? Where does it come from? It must come from the side of the Lord. And had it never been the Lord's desire, it had never taken place. Or with desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you? Then there is a desire from the side of God that he may have communion, that he may have fellowship with his church and with that creature that he has created for himself, for his own honor and glory already in paradise. Thus, how many times did he not say unto his disciples, fear not? How many times did he not assure them, be not afraid? Oh, the Lord is pleased. He is pleased to forgive his people. Why? That he may commune with them. The bowels of Joseph, they did not know him, but the bowels of Joseph, they are yearning upon his brethren. Father, I will, and that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am. And therefore, it is no light matter. No, but it is a very weighty pleading ground which our instructors are teaching us when they say to pray, forgive us our debts. That is, be pleased, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Because that is now something that is able, humanly speaking, to touch the heart of the triune God, who is not able to do it for the sake of that people, but who can and who will do it for his own great name's sake, for his good pleasure. Let us sing Psalter 140, 1, 2, and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 140.
Thank you.
and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that is, be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. That is our last thought, the sincerity of this petition, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Why? Because we forgive our debtors? No, that is impossible. Because we have just shown that the ground is nothing which is able to come from us. What does it mean then? We read, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us. Thus, it is speaking about the influence of the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord and the desire that the Spirit of the Lord is giving in the life of that church. A firm resolution to do what? Not to forgive all the temporal benefits. As to say, when someone owes me money, that I have to just forgive that debt, that I am not allowed to lend money, but I must only give money. No. Although we must be careful that we show mercy unto the poor. It is also not to cover the wickedness of my neighbor, as if I must just turn away, turn my back, turn my eyes away from his sin. That is not honest. It is not loving. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. But it speaks about forgiving my neighbor when he has done me a wrong, that is, a personal wrong. What does that mean? That means that there are things that I am able to lay aside. And what are they? Well, I am able to lay aside something that I now lack. That is, when he has deprived from me honor, when he has deprived from me a certain liberty, when he has deprived from me goods, I am able to lay this all aside. Also, I am able to lay aside a heart that is full of revenge, that I want to return unto him what he has done unto me. Thus, those things, they are to be laid aside in forgiveness. But that does not mean that we are to obstruct justice, because justice, that does not belong to us. No, that belongs righteously to those who are set in authority. And that it also does not mean that I am to now in my heart and in my mind to consider this bad man a good man, this evil man a righteous man. Must I consider him to be so? Am I obligated to do this? I am not. No, this trust, this name, he has yet to earn. Though I may deny myself to lay aside my rights and all revenge against him. Thus, in the scriptures, then we read also how that we are supposed to deal with one another when we have been wronged. Do you know where that is, young people? Can you find it in the Bible? You find that in Matthew 18. And what does it say in Matthew 18? That when someone has wronged me, then I am not to be silent about it. Nor am I to wait for him to come to me, but I am to go to him. I am to go to him, and I am to tell him what his offense was, how that he has offended me. Then I am not just to forget about it and just to leave it go. Why? Because it is staying in my mind. There is a breach, and there should not be a breach. And I need to do something about that breach may be healed. Does that mean that for every slight offense that my neighbor may give me, that I am to bring that to his attention? No, that does not mean that, because we will be never done. But every little offense does not also bring a breach. Or hopefully it does not bring a breach. Because when we will look upon ourselves, then it ought not to bring a breach. But there are things that make a separation. And those things that make a separation between us and our brethren are the things over which we need to go to one another and to say, my brother, my sister, you have offended me. And how? The healing of those breaches, that is not always just overnight. There are some wounds that have been made in our hearts that are very deep. And we also, because we dwell in a sinful world and an imperfect world, then we must say, because of the wretchedness of our own hearts, that not every breach that is between us and our neighbor is even able anymore always to be completely healed, so that it is as it was before. But when we may have an upright, when we may have an honest conversation with one another, then sometimes these things are bringing persons closer together than they ever were before. Oh, who is able to say that we have been wronged by one another as we have wronged the Lord? Who is able to compare those little trifles with which we offend one another with those offenses which we offend the Lord? Or how can we expect to be forgiven 500 pence when we are not able to forgive 50? Forgiveness. That is something that needs to take place in our heart. That is also something that needs to be verbalized with our mouth. Where is the comfort for God's children when they may be forgiven by the Lord, but the Lord does not say so? Is it not just this, that they are waiting to hear, that the Lord would say unto them, thy sins are forgiven thee? And now if we say we have forgiven our neighbor in our heart, but we never say it unto him, how can he know it? It is possible that we say it too soon, that it is not to his welfare, because he is not brought around even to repentance. On the other hand, we may not say it either when we truly do not mean it. But it must come from our heart. And when we forgive, then there is actually included in this a promise that we do not bring this up again. Forgiveness. Is that not a great blessing? Was not necessary before the fall. It has become necessary because of sin. And what a great blessing if we may be upright and if we may be honest one with another. But so often, is it not so? We are ready to complain to one another about one another and not so ready to go unto our defender. But how then can those things be taken away and those breaches healed? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you may have love one for another. That is not only for his people, but as in the midst of that visible church of God. And what a wonder if the Lord may forgive our sins. What a burden is not felt by the people beginning in that moment of true regeneration. The burden of sin. But now in the Lord Jesus, he may say unto that man, unto that woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. Then what a great comfort that there is. Then it is not only presumption, but then it is a people who have heard it out of his own mouth. And that is now a word that people are given by times to plead. Oh Lord, remember. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, will sin cease then? Only it would, but that depravity remains. But the Lord, he is so faithful to his own word that when the Lord speaks that forgiveness, oh, then that sin that is never for all eternity also, when we are standing before the judgment seat of God, never is that sin to be brought up again. Thus he is pleased. He is pleased to do for the sake of his only begotten Son. Do we now have need? Do we now have need for this in a personal way outside of that true need? There is no true petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sadly, that need that is greatly lacking. Why? Because that life also in the souls of his own church that is often so greatly lacking. And what work is there then for the Son of God? But when that need may be felt more, then it will be heard more from place to place and from mouth to mouth of the true church of God, that they may receive that blessed forgiveness of sins. Oh, blessed, blessed, said David, is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Will we not seek for that blessing? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct, teach, lead us. O lead us in that way, because we will never come to true confession. Our heart has been lifted up in pride. In our father Adam, we will never bow. And we will never say, I have sinned against the Lord, except that thou become too strong for us, and then we shall hear it from thy mouth. The Lord hath also put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. O give us a need, and wilt thou give it to be experienced and known in the midst of us. Remember us in the week that is to come, a week of preparation for thy holy supper. O that thou may keep the prince of darkness at bay, that thou may watch over each and every one of thy children, and that thou may give us all together a place in this week in our secret chambers, and that thou may remember us upon thy holy day in the midst of thy sacrament. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 172, 2, 3, and 4. Against me, my besetting sins prevail from day to day, but thou in thy forgiving grace will take them all away. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 172. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.